Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More college protests overnight. That is the sound as police moved in to remove barricades that students had set up at a Columbia University building they were occupying. At least 100 people were arrested. Pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli groups clashing on the UCLA campus overnight as well. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv. He is saying this morning the only thing standing between more hostages being released and a pause in the Gaza war is Hamas. Vice President Kamala Harris will today travel to Florida as the state's new abortion ban takes effect. It outlaws almost all abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy.
She will blame Donald Trump directly for this as he brags about overturning Roe. She will also call him out for his recent comments. Trump telling Time magazine that he would not stand in the way if states want to monitor women's pregnancies or punish those who violate abortion bans.
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin today. He's using an off day in his New York hush money trial to stump in Waukesha. Trump says the trial is just a ploy to keep him on the sidelines.
That's exactly what they want. They don't want me on the campaign trail. But it's a real disgrace, and the whole world is watching. It's a disgrace to New York.
Trump is accused of falsifying business records to cover up payments to a porn star. A new poll finds the race for Wisconsin's presidential votes is tight. The Emerson College survey finds 47% of registered voters support Donald Trump, while 45% back President Biden when the two go head-to-head. With third-party candidates, Trump comes out ahead 45-40. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Minnesota Department of Health is reminding residents to be on the lookout for ticks, particularly deer ticks, which carry Lyme disease. According to health officials, the unusually warm winter across the area has created optimal conditions for the tick population to grow earlier than usual, which means there will likely be more of them as residents start to get outside again. If you do get a tick on you, you should use tweezers to remove it by its head and contact your medical provider if the bite leaves you with a rash. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation have announced a new grant program to train students in science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. 18 school districts across the state will receive a portion of nearly $500,000 in grant funding, including the St. Croix Central School District and Hayward Community School District. The grant funding will be used for fabrication laboratories, which will include things like 3D printers and laser engravers. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks game 6 is set. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down 3-1 playing at home. Both Dame and Giannis out with injuries. Chris Middleton playing on a sprained ankle, scoring 29 points as the Bucks beat the Pacers 115-92. Game 6 scheduled for 5:30 tomorrow night in Indy. Doc Rivers on the Bucks' effort on defense.
I thought taking away their threes was huge for us tonight. They had such a big advantage on us in this series from that line, and tonight I think they made one more than us. That was really important.
Baseball. After the Brewers wrap up their series today with the Rays, they head to Chicago Friday to play Craig Counsell and the Cubs. Last night, Freddy Peralta, Abner Uribe, and manager Pat Murphy all ejected from the game.
If we just leave it, there'll be a lot of commentary on it. You know, there's a lot of emotion in the game, and I think the way the game ended last night, there's a lot of emotion, and I think it lends itself to more emotion.
The Brewers coming out with an 8-2 win. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly cloudy for a good chunk of the day, although a little more sunshine by mid to late afternoon. Our high today, 62, the wind west at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, 41. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and a cooler high of 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
This is what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, join us for a delayed round of Three Headlines and a Lie. 11:33 public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm a little tired. The Bucks kept me up late last night, but I'm doing good.
Yeah, man. You were at the game, and what was the energy level like, man?
Oh, it was electric. Everyone was really pumped and into it. I was surprised how into it everyone was with how my expectations felt going into the game, but they surprised everyone, and they survived to live another game.
Well, your expectations and mine and many others weren't very high, considering that they were missing two of the best players in the game.
Yeah, hopefully we can get Dame back for game six, but I'm not confident Giannis will be back.
No, it sounds like we may get them both back. But anyway,
that would be nice.
Anyway, that voice is a good friend from many years ago, and a man that I respect immensely, Roger Quindell, who's a former, political guy in the city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County supervisor.
Hard to be a political guy with conscience.
Yeah.
elected official with conscience.
That seems like so long ago, Roger.
Yeah, it was.
What was that, 20 years ago?
No, it was only
15?
It was, he's good math.
It had to be over
16 years ago.
Oh, 16 years ago. We were both a little bit younger.
In all my chronic pain, once I left the county board, I haven't disappeared.
Let me ask you. You spent how many years on Milwaukee County Board supervisor?
16
years. What's your thoughts now as you look at? It's really kind. Things have really changed tremendously.
They've
right?
changed, and I'm hopeful. Because I think we're coming out of here on the roads,
right.
And then I go like. We had this governor who was a county executive who turned down the train. Why on earth would anyone not want to get on a train that could be out here in 10 minutes, or be in Madison? I'm going like, oh, Madison football games at 140 miles an hour. Gee, I could be up there in about 25 minutes instead of one of my fear, the day games at 1 o'clock is there's five or six stops. So you can't really drink. If you're driving and having to go through
five. Well, you can make up for it once you get at the stadium.
Yeah, but you got to drive back. That's the unfortunate part.
I also want to welcome Mr. Mark Foreman, another good friend. Hey, Mark, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. Good morning.
It's always good to have you around, man, to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
And so I asked you guys to come up because for people who don't know, you are both wounded veterans of the Vietnam War. And as I've been watching and paying and focusing and hearing, you know, drums rattling about where are we going to get engaged next? Is it going to be China? Is it going to be? I mean, it's like they're talking like there's a game going on. Who's going to be the next? Are we going to be ready for China? I'm like, man, what are you people talking about?
Yeah, they don't understand it. And plus, we have a country where there's the vast majority of people don't have any obligation to service. So it's easy to send other people, well, they're volunteers. But in fact, the military is short, a lot of people. They can't fill the quota, despite the fact that, great, when I was in, I think I made $200 a month in Vietnam.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's what I made.
But who's going to rush into a war, a place where they're going to send you halfway around the world and tell you that you're fighting for democracy?
Right. Yeah.
You guys were there. You guys were in Vietnam. You spent a lot of time, a lot of your lifeblood. So, Mark, tell us about, you know, for those of us novices, only 1% of the people actually are engaged in war. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that's like so people will stop acting like it's some kind of video game.
Yeah, that 1% represents those of us who are in actual combat. The rest were all support troops in the rear. Yeah, I joined the Navy, not because I was a patriot to the country, even though I am a patriot, but I don't believe in going into all these wars at all. The wars, you look way back when we first created this country and took it away from the natives. We have been on the march to control the world. That's the way I see it. That's why we've got so many bases all around the world. It reminds me of Rome, you know, and how Roman interests were spreading all over the, you know, Europe area anyway. I went to Vietnam knowing I was risking my life. I was a Navy corpsman with the Marines. So I was definitely in combat, and I saw the horror of it all. I was a medic. We call it a corpsman. So I was working with the wounded. I'm jumping. Mentally, I'm jumping all over the place. I was wounded on a mountain. There were 84 of us Marines. We ran into an encampment of 1,500 North Vietnamese regulars. They had us surrounded as soon as we got to the top of the mountain. They killed or wounded 80% of us in the first 5 to 10 minutes. And it was, I cannot describe the horror of it. The screaming, all the machine guns. It left quite an impression on me, as you might guess. But I was wounded. My right hip was blown off. I thought my femoral artery was broken. I would be dead in an hour. I'd bleed out in an hour. And my feeling was that the sooner the better, that I would die. But obviously I didn't, and spent 8 months in a body cast, a lot of surgeries. I haven't really told my story in quite a while. In fact, I've kind of avoided telling the story because when I go there in my mind, I'm there again. And why do I want to be there again? But I need to tell my story. I went over there as a patriot. I believed in democracy. And after what I witnessed and spending all that time in the hospital, All I wanted to know is who is profiting from this insanity. That was my main feeling. I didn't know. I knew someone had to be profiting. So in those months that I was in the hospital, I got as much literature as I could find on American foreign policy. And from the very beginning, like I mentioned earlier, when we took over this country, we were dominating. That's what we do. We dominate in order to have control of the resources on this finite planet. To me, that's what wars are mainly about, is securing more material.
So Roger, you and Mark, you were how old when you went to?
I just turned 19.
19. Roger, your story?
I was 21. For various reasons, I left and joined the military. There was multiple number of people, my friends, who did it. And when I was in the military, they offered me a job in the second place I went to after basic training. And it was to become a radar repair instructor. So I was going to go to school for 35 weeks and be a radar repair instructor and then teach one course for a year. And then I thought, you know, and later on when I didn't like Arizona because it was so hot and we were like 40 miles from the border. And I go, oh, I don't want to do this. So, you know, I foolishly move on. I go like, wait, I could have traveled the world teaching people how to use American radar systems, you know, get anywhere in the world, you'd be valuable. So instead I went to a radio teletype school in Georgia, and we had signed up for airborne. I was going to go airborne, and then I was going to go to officer candidate school right afterwards. And this is how things turn out. So there were five of us going to airborne, and there were three black African-American soldiers and two of us, two white guys. And so we were going to go to this. They were going to take us to a bar to celebrate our, you know, we're leaving here. We're going to the next stage of our lives. And one of them didn't make it, but they take us to a black bar in Augusta, Georgia, all African-American. Like there's 500-600 people who are the only two white people. They had some women they knew were at our table. I only danced with them. I had one beer when I got there, never drank again. Later at night, maybe 11 o'clock, these MPs come in, military police, and they arrest me and my friend for being drunk. And we're going like, what are you talking about? We were drinking. Everyone's vouching for us. And they put us in the drunk tank back in the base. And I'm going like, come on, Sarge. And I was really strong then. And I said, could I do handstand push-ups if I was drunk? And I'm doing handstand push-ups against the wall. And I'm going like, what do you want me to do? Stand on one leg? I was doing... He said, take it up with your captain. Take it up. So they just torture me for 2 weeks. And then I go, oh, you're supposed to go to airborne. I said, I'm not going to this. And I just went to Vietnam. And I spent, I knew two people from high school in my unit. We get hit day after day in the base camp a couple of times. When I saw the lights on at night, well, that's another story, hallucinations. But anyways, we go out in the field, and for about 3 months, we just get hit all the time, and we're along the border, and everything has been sprayed. Everything is dead. There's nothing living. You see one tree 20 miles away and something else. And I get through all this, and we at one point we lost 57 of 60 artillery pieces. And then I end up going to a safe place, and it all turns to
evil. So, Roger,
evil.
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
844-967-2789 is the number. My guests are Mr. Mark Foreman and Roger Quindell, as they join me to talk about, you know, life in the war zone. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety.
What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
So this song is from 1967.
Wow.
When you guys were plying your trade.
I was just going to say, you know how to pick the music.
Welcome back.
I can dance in my seat.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm joined by my good friends and guests, Mr. Mark Foreman and Roger Quindell. They're both wounded veterans from the Vietnam War. And I really wanted them, after watching 60 Minutes this past weekend and just watching families that have been really impacted by, you know, things that happened with our military to those families. And the fact that they're in court right now fighting what the government knows was wrong. And instead of settling with the families, this thing is going to court. So what happened was they've had all this jet fuel, and in huge tanks, and they flow through pipes above the ground. You know, 20 feet wide. I mean, you guys know the magnitude of our military, and one of the pipes burst. And so many gallons of the jet fuel spilled all over, got into the water, drinking water of people, and poisoned them. And yet, when it came time for the government to fess up, they didn't do it. Families have been impacted, children, and now it's in court as we speak. So I thought about you guys and what happened with you guys in Vietnam. And, you know, and even the guys with the burn pits and wanted you guys to at least have a dialogue with the listening audience for all those people who are ready for us to send other young men to war, that what this really means. Roger?
Well, you know, so I get sent along the Cambodian border eventually, and we're up there for 3 months and everything is dead. You go like, well, why is all the grass dead? It's all brown, and then way off in the distance, you see a tree or you see green. And we had sprayed it with Agent Orange. And Agent Orange had been banned in the U.S. and buried. They buried the whole town, the manufacturing town of Times Beach. They buried it because that's how deadly this stuff was. And then we just spray it everywhere. And the only thing that saved us was it was the dry season, because what gets it in you is wet.
Right.
So it was dry up there. But you also saw, you know, miles and miles of everything is gone. And you think, well, this is what we're doing for these people. And, you know, years later, you know, after I spent 81 days in a hospital, I've never heard of anyone who's been, you know, been that out of country that long and lost. I lost 40 pounds, close to 40 pounds at the bottom. I think I weighed 122. I'd been 160 and maybe in the 130, low 130s. They sent me back because I had a valuable MOS, military occupational specialty. And it was just like torture because you pray you're going to get killed, that you get killed. I don't want to go through this again. So I lived through all that, but it just totally changed my perspective. And what are we doing when we could, these are people who are living on $2 a week and we're spending all this money, billions of dollars, even back then, to destroy their lives. But the amazing thing is, I guess because they're Buddhist or whatever, but they were nice. They're nice to Americans. It's a big tourist destination. And I got to go back in 1983 and they were, you know, like, oh, wow, they treated me nice and everything. And I was reading these things I'd written in stories because I'm the veterans chair of the St. John's senior living place. So I have to prepare for Memorial Day. Right. And I'm reading this stuff and it's just reminding me of how we casually treat people, both us, but the other people in other countries, how we do it. But the Vietnamese, because of their religion and all, they're able to put that behind them. But I think the whole thing, when you're in a hospital and every bed is touching the bed next to you on the side, they're just totally touching. We're in the gym. Every hallway is lined with it. End of the Tet Offensive. My head is touching the head of another bed that's turned the other direction. And there's a narrow gap that most people can't walk down straight. They shuffle sideways. The doctor sees you, pull down to the end of the bed. Doctor shuffles in, and then they look at you and stuff. And you go through all that, and that's how much misery there is, that we're just overloaded. The hospitals in the U.S. are full. Hospitals in Japan are full. You know, there's no place to put all these wounded people. And you go like, what are we doing when we could, for a fraction of that cost, we could have done all kinds of good things for Vietnam. And you go like, and why exactly did we side with the people we sided? The people we fought the Japanese, then they fought the French for independence. And who do we hook up with? Arvn officers, the Army of Republic of Vietnam, who fought with the French against their people for freedom. Where's our July 4th and all the rest of it?
Let's bring John from Boaz on. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. And nice to hear your guests. Thank you for your service and your sacrifice as former veterans. I'm also a former veteran, but city-wise, I used to work for the city. But I just want to give you some good news today, because my father survived the worst typhoon in Navy history. He came home, and it was a complete mess, like a train wreck upstairs in his mind, because he kept hearing those calls for help. All of the people that were drowning that night. So, but he was able to come home and become a teacher for school children. So see, there's good news too. We can survive difficulties, but it's nice to hear them and share them with your friends.
I agree, and I'm glad he survived.
Hey, John, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Mark, again, you know, John just talked about the impact. We see the physical impact. What about the mental impact when you come back from the theater of war?
That became a huge issue for me. It's not only that I have a physical wound, which was quite bad, my emotional body had changed. My intellectual body had changed. My spiritual body had changed. I was 20 years old when I came home. And I wanted to believe that nothing had changed. You know, that I was still the same guy I was when I went over there. But it became obvious to me. Do you want me to finish this up?
Yeah, no, I need you to hang on, and you pretty good. You remember when you hear the music. 844-967-2789. I guess my good friends Mark Foreman and Roger Quindell. 844-967-2789. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another small college in Wisconsin falls on hard times. Alverno College in Milwaukee is cutting costs in the face of financial challenges. The Catholic Liberal Arts College for Women says it will likely reimagine some programs and cut faculty and staff positions over the next 2 months. One in five Americans age 50 and older has no retirement savings. That's according to a new study from the AARP. Jim Flaherty is with AARP Wisconsin. He says while it's wise to save for retirement, it's not always easy.
A lot of times because they're just trying to get by, and they do have to live paycheck to paycheck. But if you can live with a little bit less from your paycheck every week, that will sure grow.
Some states have state-operated retirement savings systems, but not Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A local Superior sports team will receive a $1,000 donation after the local Culver's won a company-wide competition. According to a Northern News Now report, Culver's hosted a competition for its stores to see which one could sell the most bacon. The Superior Culver's ended up tying for first place with over 900 stores participating, but the company decided to double the prize money instead of splitting it between the two winning locations. The Superior branch is in the process of choosing the lucky team. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the first positive test result for chronic wasting disease in a wild deer in Pierce County. According to a press release, the deer was found in the town of Spring Lake near the border of Dunn and St. Croix counties. As a result of the positive test, Pierce County and St. Croix County will begin baiting and feeding bans on May 15th, and Dunn County will renew the ban that it already has in place. The Pierce ban will last 3 years, and the St. Croix ban will last 2 years. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Comedian actress Amy Schumer put a positive spin on the internet's reaction to her, quote, puffy face. Schumer says it made her insecure at first, but also let her know that something was wrong. Schumer announced in February that she was suffering from Cushing's syndrome. The condition can be caused by too much stress, which can release cortisol, making one's face puffy and raising one's blood pressure. Schumer was grateful she caught it early and says she knows her fans will love her, puffy or not. Who doesn't enjoy a movie love scene between a doughy middle-aged man and a young pretty actress? Probably just about everyone, much to the dismay of actor Martin Freeman. The 53-year-old Fargo actor addressed his intimate scenes with 21-year-old Jenna Ortega in Miller's Girl, a dark comedy in which Ortega's character seduces Freeman's character. The reaction on social media was mostly negative. I know, shocking. Miller's Girl is available on demand. Check it out. Being grossed out is a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy for a good chunk of the day, although a little more sunshine by mid to late afternoon. Our high today, 62, the wind west at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, 41. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and a cooler high of 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Tim Sowers, who joins me to discuss upcoming events at the Overture Center in Madison. And we'll talk about Casey Kasem's bloopers. You've never heard swearing like this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
All right. I was trying to get us to the bridge, but we may not get there. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guests are Roger Quindell and Mark Foreman. They are two wounded Vietnam veterans who spend their lives, you know, making people remember, you know, what transpired and supporting veterans. And, you know, it's easy to say thank you for your service, but I just think that what these men and their colleagues went through and the pain, as Mark said, that of you never get beyond it. I mean, that happened when you were 20 years old, and how old are you now?
76.
And you still, guys still, just like yesterday. Let me do this. Before we come back to you guys, let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Thank you very much for the call. I think you've got something in common with these gentlemen.
Welcome home, my brother.
Welcome home.
You too.
A little bit. I have a little bit in common with them. I'm a Air Force veteran from Vietnam, recon, and wounded 6 times in 3 different occasions. And I made it back, but I didn't plan on it. I went there to die because I grew up in the streets of Detroit. My family was disenfranchised by this government, and my parents died when I was 4 and 5 years old. I grew up in the streets, living in cardboard boxes, eating out of garbage cans, etc. When I got to that point in my life, I didn't have a problem with dying. I joined the military to leave here and get away from white people and go fight and die. Unfortunately, the latter part didn't happen. But on May 5th, 1967, I held my first cousin in my arms when he died. And a Marine, Play Coop, brought his body back, and I volunteered to go back. And I went back. But because of my survival instincts of living the way I had, I didn't get killed. But I saw a lot of my people go down unnecessarily. And everybody asked the question, what the hell are we fighting for? Why are we here? It was all about getting somebody more money and more resources that didn't belong to the United States of America. We lost a lot more than 58,000 people, according to the statistics, because many came back mentally wounded to the point where they could not blend back into this society. Some of us were never in the society in the first place.
Yeah, it was the most ill-designed war. On top of everything else, most of us didn't go over there as a unit. So we just went as an individual. And so I had a unit of 80 people, and I was the communications for the artillery unit. And there was 3 of us. I probably served with 230 or 40 people because we had 18 deaths out of, you know, the unit of 80. And then we had about 110, 120 wounded. You know, you just think, and then you have a turnover. So it's like the most ill-designed thing ever. But and I remember of the hospital, a couple things. One is just this massive packing of all these young people. And then the other one was when I finally got to leave, I would go out to go to Tokyo, which is about 40 miles away, and get on their high-speed train that went 125 miles an hour in 1968. And I just was on the freeway at 0 to 15 for about 10 miles. So you go like, what are we doing? But the other one is I ran into a couple of people that had been in Hiroshima or Nagasaki, and they had this perfect precision stamp on their face, like someone had taken a metal cutter and boomed and it healed it. But it was just perfectly symmetrical. It was just like you could never do it by hand, or, you know, a machine could probably not do it. It was just like, but that's what we left. And they, and we wiped out, you know, 100,000 people just like that, disappeared. And you go to send a message to the world. But the, we also, today we have this thing where a tiny fraction of the population is our military. If everybody had to serve, this would be a different world and we'd have a better place. Because the one thing about the service, I still remember when I got injured and I crawled to the medic. The medic was an African-American guy. He was our medic. So you don't care about race. You care about getting help. And then he did this thing for me because he was like holding my hand. I think he thought I was going to die because my face is, you know, swelling up and all that. And when I was in the hospital, these people I had never met came to me, these black medics who were stationed in the base camp that he knew. And they said, when the morphine doesn't work for 4 hours, you got to get off. They repeatedly told me. And then when I was in Japan, when it happened, I sucked it up and went off, and it was really painful. But I saw people get addicted, you know, and you, if you don't get off, you get addicted. And that was that once we were in the combat, man, race didn't matter. We'd have these white Southern crackers and they didn't want to deal with anybody black. But man, once you're in fire, under fire, you go like that all gets lost because you all rely on each other.
You know, Mark, you talked about, and you always talk about, you know, these wars that our nation is involved in. And you hear people say, well, we're doing it for democracy. We're sending young men all over the world to fight for democracy and our freedoms. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, boy. First of all, when we came over here, we Europeans came over here and took the country away from those that had been here for thousands of years. Where am I going with this? That whole attitude, manifest destiny. You know, this is God is having us do this. I would like to believe that we are so righteous that we've got a handle on what's right and what's wrong more so than any other country in the world. When you really look at our history and you really look at it, for me, it's nothing, but I shouldn't say nothing, but there's a lot of shame, involved in this. You know, what I was saying, what I started to say before was, you know, when we're wounded, it's not just a physical wound. It's an emotional wound, a psychological wound, a spiritual wound. And it's a wound so deep that we don't know what to do with it. And the VA, you know, they're doing their best. They really are to try to help us psychologically, emotionally, intellectually, you know, and I really appreciate their effort. But the trauma of war is so, so deep. You know, more than 100,000 of us committed suicide within 10 years after the war ended.
Vietnam veterans.
Yes. That says so much about what war leaves with these young guys like ourselves that when we were there. It is just so unbelievably beyond the beyond that our brains don't know what to do with it. And I spent my first 13 years after getting out of the hospital either drunk or high on some kind of medication until I finally realized I was making the pain worse just in my mind to get those drugs, you know. But when I realized that, hey, I have become addicted, I'm an addict, and my brain would not admit it. It did admit that. And so it took me 13 years to realize that I was addicted, that I had this addiction. So that sent a message to me once again, that there are things going on because of what I witnessed and what was done in Vietnam. things are going on that are just so horrific. And these young guys, like we were many decades ago, we need help figuring out where to put it, you know. And the VA hospital, I'm very proud of what they've been able to do in the last, well, since the mid-90s.
So Al is back, and one of the things that I guess I wanted to ask you guys, because you guys work with veterans, you know, a lot of the homelessness that we see and continue to see are veterans still. After Roger, you guys, and even Al make this effort to try to rescue veterans, you know, they just don't, they're used to doing things on their own and being on their own. And so the damage that's done sometimes is irreparable. Al, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, we see, you got to understand the training that we went through. We are trained to survive in any conditions, anywhere. And basically, when the people come back and they reach out for help and don't get it, then they go into survival mode and do what they have to do. I was formerly the vice president of the Center for Veterans Issues and the National Black Veterans Association. We went around every week with trucks full of sandwiches and food and looking for veterans living under bridges out in the woods and what have you. And we still do that. They do that. I'm no longer with the agency, but I still work with veterans, trying to help them make some sense out of what they've gone through and what they try to aspire to get back into, which is of the American world. But it's just a matter of, as I said earlier, what were we fighting for? And for many of us, coming from certain situations, and especially the African Americans, we didn't care if we died. We just wanted to get away from the prejudice and racism and all of the other stuff. We were in war all the time with the police. They hunted us down and locked us up if they didn't beat us to death in the streets or shot us. So we've been dealing with this all our lives. And the National Association of Black Veterans and the Center for Veterans Issues was born in Milwaukee by four African-American
Hey, Al. I wish I had more time. We got to let you go. But thank you very much, as always. 844-967-2789 is the number. You guys can chime in, ask any questions you want to of my good friends Roger Quindell and Mark Foreman, a couple of Vietnam veterans. They would appreciate a dialogue with you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan. It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st.
As a weather-ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work. Whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping, the Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I still like to dance. Yeah,
right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My two great friends of mine, Mark Foreman and Roger Quintel, veterans of the Vietnam War, and who, after all these decades, still fighting for veterans' rights. 844-967-2789. Mark, you were saying.
Yeah, addressing homelessness among veterans. Why are there so many? The percentage of homeless veterans is much larger than homeless, society out there, white society. I learned a big lesson that when these guys came back from the Vietnam War, African-Americans, so many of them came back to and implanted in the poverty that had been created by us. And that's why they're homeless. They not only, I grew up in a middle-class family. I had a lot of security growing up. Being in poverty is not secure. And so they went over to Vietnam with all this stuff to deal with, and they came back from witnessing how horrible it was. But it was a big lesson for me as a white guy to realize that homelessness has so much to do with being born in poverty and not knowing anything else. So I just wanted to share that with those that are listening. Poverty is the beast. All right.
I work with Mark. This is what kind of moved me from back into the VA eventually and all that. But we worked with these homeless vets. And when we first started, we'd be meeting at the guest house on Valiche Street. And there'd be 20 guys. And we would try to help them. And then we'd started going out to under the bridges where they hung out and this and that, and talk to people. And I think the one thing, even when they're down and out, they have it in them that they were at one time able to be very disciplined and have their life in order and do everything right. And we would work with them, and then we'd help them get services and send them to 35th and right. Elite and all this. And eventually we actually ran out of people to work with because there were so few. That's how I first started to learn about the VA again. Because when I went in Milwaukee, I went in Madison, I went in Boston, and I still remember this guy, "What do you want us to do about it?" That was his attitude. Like, wait, they can get to a military contractor can get to discriminate against you because you served and got hurt in a war, and you can't get a job with them, and you can do it physically, but they don't want to deal with anybody, and then they call you back. "We're not going to get you in the apprenticeship program, but we'll let you come back later and come for an 8-week thing so you can do welding in the bowels of a ship and breathe all of the right. poison." Thank you for your service, but when we work with these guys, and then that's how I eventually got back to Mark saying, "Talk to her." And then I started going to VA, and it was a different VA because they actually have been extremely helpful. And that's what I do for all my medical stuff now, but it wasn't like that for a long period of time. And I think part of it is when you have an all volunteer army and it's hard enough to get people to join, they're way short of filling quotas right. now. You better offer something. I mean, the pay scale is like amazing how much money they make compared to even, standard of living and what the wages are. But people make a lot of money compared to getting $93 a month.
But you know what? They're making a lot of money.
Relative to us.
And going to Afghanistan or Iraq and suffering.
No, I'm not saying it's...
right.
I'm just saying, relatively speaking, wages didn't go up by 1,200% for the average citizen in America.
Yeah. Well, they were forced to do it because who's going, right? And the young 18-year-old is not what you guys were. They're not going.
That's right.
You know, but they've seen.
If we want to save America, what we need is a national service. And you can go into Vista or you can go into the Peace Corps. You can do something, but you serve with other Americans, and I think it would bring people to make them understand. But if everyone did it, we'd think a lot more carefully about wars we go in.
But they're not going to allow that.
Yeah, but it has to happen because right now, 50% of the population can't come up with $400 for an emergency. Another 20%, it goes to 60% who it's a hardship for. And then you have 765 billionaires. There used to be a couple 40 years ago, and you made $12 to $18 an hour working in a factory before they closed 59,000 jobs in the city of Milwaukee alone. And then we wonder why we have poverty here. You attract people to come to work, and then you take the work away from them, and then you wonder why you have all these social issues.
Well, you know, Roger and Mark, clearly as we get closer to Veterans Day and those kind of things, I want to bring you guys back because I just thought it was important for the listening audience to hear from two guys who've dedicated their lives after surviving Vietnam to helping other men who have been impacted and affected. And so we before other young men have to go through what you guys went through, I think it's important that the American people understand when we hear the drums beating for China's necks.
Yeah.
Well, I hear people, well, we should be getting ready for China and we should, what are they talking about?
I know. They're talking about annihilation is what
and vast impoverishment of both countries from the process. You know, things are bad. You know, we have a hard enough time. We don't fix all the things. We don't have a high-speed rail. You go to Europe and you could have hopped on a train and been here in 5 minutes.
Well, and healthcare is horrible.
Most people don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, I usually, my bills get, the VA sent me to, I'll say their name, St. Mary's Hospital. It was $140 the first time. The second time it got screwed up and it was $960. And they bugged me for 11 months and 23 days. We had numerous conversations. So the idea of you charge seven times as much if someone doesn't have insurance, that's America.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you very much, man.
Thanks for having us.
I really appreciate it. We'll make sure we bring you back real soon. That's Mark Foreman and Roger Quindale. 844-967-2789. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action will be joining us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome in Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We'll discuss 3rd District congressional politics and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.